I'm on? Yep. Awesome. I don't know how to follow that. That was such an amazing presentation. Totally wrapped everything up in a nutshell. Took my thunder off me. Wrapped it all up so well. I've got a few slides to put up, although most of them have already been up in some form or another. But just to sort of cover what I'm talking about and giving you a chance to follow along, thank you so much, everyone. I thought that was quite emotional, to be honest. I really did. Such intense and such good and such quality presentation by every participant and the musicians and the singers and the kids reading the scriptures and doing all their parts. Wow. So good. But I just want to quickly go through just a few little thoughts. You know, the first heralding when Jesus was to come, as we all know, there was shepherds out in the field taking care of their sheep. And it's interesting that the message of the coming of the great shepherd was to shepherds. I think that's a real intense point, because these guys, they're out there, they're minding their own business, they're looking after their sheep, they're doing what shepherds do, and all of a sudden here's this host of angels come along and say, you know, fear not. I mean, how would you feel if you're out somewhere looking after sheep as a shepherd, and all of a sudden there's this host of heavenly angelic beings there? And I'd be looking for the first cave to hide in almost, you know. But they said, don't be afraid. We're bringing you glad tidings of great joy, for unto you this day in the city of David is born a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Now, that is pretty much an amazing declaration. If you think about that heralding, there was so much in that for them. But then the angels went on and they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. If you've ever thought about that too much, there wasn't a lot of peace from Adam right through to that particular time. There was a lot of turmoil where nations rose against nations, where people fought, and where there was a lot of judgment of God went on in so many areas. But then it goes on and it says there's peace coming with this Messiah, with this baby. On earth, peace and goodwill. My will, God's will, is now good towards men. Isn't that interesting? People before that didn't know what God's will towards men was, because they had no knowledge of who God was in that sense. But he comes along with these angels declaring, hey, peace, everyone. It's like almost at warfare when they say, right, let's not fight anymore, peace, and they sign a treaty. God's treaty was being signed with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and his will was being exclaimed as good towards all men through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Next slide. Really amazing story in that particular one. Is that the next slide after that? It is. All right, maybe it is. Well, let's have a look at that. The declaration that the shepherds were given. The joy, we look at, there's joy, and there's hope, there's peace, there's love, and everything that have come up already. The joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a scripture that comes out of Nehemiah. The hope of the world is Jesus. God is love. The peace of God that passes all understanding keeps your heart in mind in Christ Jesus. The light of the world is Jesus, and no other way comes close to the way of this promised baby. I think that sort of somehow got out of sync when I've sent it across there, but we'll have another look on here and see if I can find it. Turn around, that's a way. The shepherds got all of that in that first heralding. But the amazing thing about it When the first heralding said glad tidings of great joy or good news, a Saviour was born who is Christ the Lord, the Messiah that had been promised. Now these guys had been waiting, and generations had waited for the promised Messiah for nearly 2,000 years. When God said to Abraham, "In your seed will all nations be blessed. Your offspring and your generations leading down would bring forth a seed that would bless all generations." And this is nearly 2,000 years. Every generation in that time spoke of a coming Messiah, prophesied Messiah. And here it was. These shepherds get the news. "Hey guys, I've got some great news for you. For you today, for you in the city of David, the Messiah is born, who is Christ the Lord. The promised Messiah is here." Well, I don't know whether, you know, you'd believe it after all that time, but sure enough, they all took that news and took it. The hope of great joy, the heralded hope of and the news of this great joy. So this instigated a search for the babe, for the child. They are, where is he? He's born in Jerusalem. He's in a manger. And that's the same thing with the wise men. They had a star to follow. The shepherds had a directive to follow. And they all had to get there somehow to find this particular Saviour. "I bring you glad tidings of great joy." When the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength, you got to believe it. God provided joy for us to be a constant in our lives, not circumstantial. Some people are happy if everything's going well for them. Some people are happy if they get their own way. Some people are happy if they get what they want in certain aspects of life. And that's the only reason their happiness exists. When things go wrong and when things are not the way it should be, but joy that God provides is consistent. It's a quality in the heart by the Spirit of God given to us. It becomes a stability. It becomes a strengthening force. It becomes a major part of our demeanor and our character. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you look at people who have lost their joy, it's sad. And the Nehemiah scripture talks about this. Sorry, I'll just go backtrack a little bit. But the day declared in Nehemiah was the day of just preceding the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was actually the dwelling place of God, to tabernacle amongst his people. When the children of Israel had their tent in the wilderness, when the temple was dedicated, the power of God came down and the glory of God shone in that place. And the Feast of Tabernacles was instigated to honor the presence of God amongst his people. Well, we don't need that any longer, because that joy, that dwelling place of God, he said he would live within us. He would live within our hearts. He would live within our spirits. He would make us alive in him. And Nehemiah said, "Don't be grieved on this day. It's holy to the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And people who've lost their joy don't just lose their happiness. They lose their whole demeanor of peace, joy, love, and everything else seems to go out of the window when circumstances change their happiness. When things are not going the way people want it to go, it becomes dreariness. It becomes a drudgery. Life becomes hard on them. And it's pretty important for people to understand and know that God's way is not that way when he gives us his joy to keep us in and his strength in our lives. And it's necessary in our lives, if we know God, to allow God's peace that passes all understanding, to allow his joy, to allow his love, to allow his nature to impart all of God into our life and nature, that we become a reflection of him. God says this of himself. He says, I am the Lord God, I change not. In other words, I'm not up one day and I'm not down the next. I'm consistent. I'm consistent in my nature. I'm consistent in who I am. I'm consistent in all that I provide. He's not fickle like we are as human beings. He's completely the opposite to us. He is totally stable and solid. And he wanted to reveal that in Christ Jesus when he sent him. Firstly, as a babe, making a heralded announcement, seeing Jesus grow and seeing Jesus become who he was to the people then, Jesus was an example of what God was meant to be in their hearts and lives. And then afterwards it says in the scriptures that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. And all of the nature of God could be our nature, imparted to us. Our predestined purpose was to be a reflected image of God impersonating, indwelling us, and our character being a personal expression of who God is. It's why it's necessary for us to keep building up ourselves by faith in the Word of God, by having a relationship with God, by knowing who God is. All of this that we sung and everything that was expressed up there is dependent on our surrender to the Lord Jesus. It's dependent on our receiving his life into our lives. It's dependent on us following the criteria that this gift of God was meant to be for us in order for us to restore relationship back with God, for God's will to be good toward us. Prior to that, they didn't have that type of relationship with God. Very few could speak to God. Very few could come to God and have any sort of conversation all through the eons of time from Adam right through to Christ. But then we come to the time from Christ on and the doorways are open. The hidden presence of God was severed at Calvary and God's presence became a reality for each and every one of us. I don't know if you've experienced God's presence. I don't know if you've ever put yourself in a position to say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. If you're real, will you let my life experience your life? It's so important. God, I want to surrender to you. I want to give my heart to you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior, just as your purposed gift of coming to this planet was designed for. And I know you came with a purpose, and we do that, we take notice of it at Christmas time. This little baby came, the gift of God to humanity. But that gift had a purpose. At 33 years of age, that purpose was to die on a cross. That purpose was to be the sacrifice that paid for the penalty of the sin of us as we come to him and ask for forgiveness. I'll tell you how powerful that is. The Bible is quite clear that one day there will be a judgment day. But my judgment's done at Calvary. There'll never be a time when God will say, stand before me and give an account for everything you've done. I've given my life to the Lord Jesus, as have many that come to the church here and all of us that know Jesus. We surrender to him. It's a reward day. It's not a judgment day. It's a judgment day for those who don't know God. And for those who'll have to give an account for why they've rejected Jesus, that will be the only criteria of what people have to base their defense on. What have you done with Jesus? Oh, I heard about him. Not good enough. Did you receive him? Did you take his gift of life? You need to be able to acknowledge that, to be able to say, God, I'm yours and I'm your child. It's absolutely incredible to know that when you come to God and say, Lord, will you forgive me my sin? The Bible's quite clear and it says God will cleanse us. He will wash us whiter than snow. He will take away and remove any darkness of our lives. And he will declare us not guilty. Not guilty. Whew. Only the love of God could do that. the gift of God, the joy, the peace. Bible hope is not like the hope that we think about. People say, oh, I hope so. We say, oh, I hope this will happen. We've got this sort of unending expression that says, oh, maybe something will happen one day that'll give me a bit of hope. No, Bible hope is confidence in God's promise. My hope is in Him. My trust is in Him. My purpose is in Him. My life is in Him, and my future is in His hands. That's the hope that I live in, and it's confident hope. It's confident assurance of God's life and God's promises fulfilling all that He said He would. Why? Because His love. His love that He poured out. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that if we believe on Him, none of us would perish, but have everlasting life. That's the purpose of the babe in the manger. That's the purpose of the life He lived, and that's the purpose of the death He died, and that's the purpose of the resurrection that He experienced and came back to bring mankind into a relationship with God that went on and on and on and on. We cannot have anything better than God's gift of life to us. And you know, before Jesus died, He did an amazing thing. They prepared a Passover ceremony. And at the Passover meal, they sat around a table. And Jesus took the wafer of bread off the and He broke it. He said, "This is my body, broken and given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, they were used to taking that Passover meal. They were used to coming together around a table, and they always had the wafer of bread there, unleavened bread. But He said, when you do it in future, remember me. Remember the work that I've done, and remember what I've done to give you the life that you have. And He said, and He took the cup. He said, the cup's a new covenant. I don't know if you understand a covenant. Marriage is a covenant. Marriage is not a contract. Marriage is a covenant. It's between a husband and a wife. And that covenant is to be representative of the union between Christ and His church, which is just an amazing bond of two people becoming one. We've become one with Christ, and He with us. A covenant that God said He would never forego, never break, and never ever turn His back on. That covenant is His promise and His assurance of who He is for us and who we are in Him. Kerry, can we get these taken around? The two girls, that's it. Thank you. We're going to partake in communion now. I'm going to grab the other one, sorry. We're going to just do that, and we're going to remember Jesus. The fact that He did come, that He was sent the way He was sent, gave Himself every opportunity to experience the life as a man, grew from a baby through childhood, adolescence, into manhood, knew what it was exactly at every point to be a human being and to experience what you and I experience, except that He didn't sin. He had an amazing resilience to that because He was the child of God as well as a man. And because of that, He knew everything you and I went through. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And He was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect, godly, pure sacrifice whose blood was unadulterated by sin that came from Adam, because the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and a new bloodline was created. He said, "My blood, this cup, is a new covenant which is shed for many." And every one of us can be a recipient of what He did for us. It's not thinking of Jesus, poor Jesus on the cross. Communion was never meant to be a reflection of the guy on the cross being beaten and knocked around, although that's part of the story. But it's meant to be a celebration of the life, the sacrifice, and the resurrection of Christ that gave us a perfect life to live in Him. If we've all got our bread and cup could we please stand together? This may be a strange ceremony for you. This may be something you're not quite used to. It may be different where you come from. But let me tell you, the memory of who Jesus is to us is to be experienced through this. And if you've never experienced the Lord Jesus, as I said before, take time. Just say, God, I just need to know you. I'd love to know you. I want to know how real you are. And I'm opening my life for you to make yourself known to me. You'd be surprised how God will honor his word and his promise to each one that puts himself in that position. Girls, you've done a great job. Thank you so much. Father, I thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. And although at this time we celebrate him coming as a baby, we recognize he had a purpose and a plan to bring the salvation, the hope, the joy, the love and the peace of God into this world. And by faith we receive that and we take hold of what we've got in our hands and remember it was through that sacrificial work of Calvary that a new covenant was released to us that would bring the life of God into our lives as we come to him and surrender to him. And so as we eat this bread and drink this cup together, I pray, Lord God, for everyone here that you would be alive in their hearts, that you would reveal yourself to those who've never experienced you, that the light of the world being Jesus would be seen by those who've never seen it before. I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love and I thank you for being the same yesterday, today and forever. I trust you. We can trust you. And I praise you for it. And as we take this bread and cup that Jesus instigated, we remember the amazing life given to us through the work of Calvary. Let's eat the bread in Jesus' name. And at the same time, Jesus said, the cup seals the new covenant in my blood. Drink all of it. Thank you, Jesus.
Please stay standing. We're going to sing this song together. This is not a Christmas song, but as Ken just shared, and as we've looked at today, you know, Christmas time is a time we celebrate because God sent his son into the world so that he could die. He could be the promised Messiah for all those years, thousands of years. They were excited about it. That's what this song sings.
Righteousness, he humbled himself. is Messiah.
So come, let us adore him. There's an invitation there for each and every one of you, each and every one of us. Oh, come, let us adore him, our choice. And I hope as you've seen today, and what my heart was to explore these four things, to hear just how much they came through Jesus into our life. But unlike this Christmas season, unlike the decorations, unlike the trees, unlike the excitement of presents and even the gifts and all the shopping and all the food and everything else that consumes our time and our thoughts at the moment, we wake up Boxing Day and love has still come and joy is still there. Peace is still ours and hope is still ours too. And my prayer for each and every one of us is that, especially from this moment on into next year and the years beyond, is that each of these will just become greater and greater and greater throughout our lives. Because as we saw, they were shown by Jesus coming, given to us by Jesus coming, and then his greater purpose is actually that for us, as we receive Christ, like what Ken talked about, and we make him Lord of our life, he was sent to be the Messiah, the saving one, that each and every one of us have a choice to choose and live our life for him. And as we do, the actual purpose of God is that then we would be the ones to bring love into the world, to bring joy to other people, to bring hope, to bring peace. Yeah? So let's make 2025 in particular the greatest year that we will bring these four things to every single person in and through our life. Amen? Awesome. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to laugh as I saw joy. Because there was a car accident in town, wasn't there? Were you part of, not like a boy hit you, is that right? Yes. But do you know what I loved? Her name's Joy. But what I love, somebody got on the community site and they said, oh, there was this amazing woman, Joy was her name, and she helped out my son. Her son accidentally hit Joy. And I just loved it, Joy, because the lady was on there just going, so Joy, whoever you are, thank you for living up to your name and bringing it into the world. And the community comments of, Joy, you sound like the most amazing person in the world and all of this. I thought, do you wonder if it's the Joy I know? Now, our names might not be called Joy, but just like Jesus, we can bring those into this community. Amen? So this next song, we're going to finish. The girls have prepared a song. This song, you'll go, wow, this isn't really a Christmas song, but it is called Joy. And as you will hear in the words, it is very much about how life can take over, but you have a choice. So like we were here, we can choose joy, we can choose love, joy, hope, and peace from this moment on. Take it away, girls.